Expressions from St. Paul is made possible by generous contributors like you. We thank you for your faithful prayers and contributions.
You need to know that you got some help, because trouble will come. The thing about trouble, we don't know where it is. But if you got your helper in tune, you don't have to worry about it.
In this week's very encouraging message, Dr. Williams assures all of us born-again believers, not if, but when we go through, that help is on the way.
Thank God I know I got a helper. My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth.
Welcome to Expressions from the St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church. We are blessed to have serving as our pastor, serving us faithfully for the past 46 years, Dr. Ephraim Williams. Our edifice is located at 3996 14th Avenue in Sacramento. We'd like to take this opportunity to invite you out to worship with us in person on Sunday morning. New membership orientation begins at 8:45 a.m. Sunday school classes for all ages are offered at 9 a.m. And at 10 a.m., our morning worship service begins. It would truly be a blessing to look around and to see your face in the place. If you have your Bible or your mobile device, let's go to the 121st Psalms, verses 7 and 8. Well, friends, we'd like to thank you for joining us today. We are now going to transition into the auditorium, and let's join morning worship service already in progress.
Eternal God, we thank you again this morning for your word, for the direction of the Holy Spirit. Bless, as your word go forth, everyone who is in this place and those who would receive it from radio and from television. We thank you. In Christ's name. Amen. We are moving to the close of the assigned time of Black History Month. Moving into the period of 70 years of celebration. When I was young, a few days ago, I saved money for certain celebrations. I started early so I wouldn't have no complaints, and I would invite people that had some money so they could help me do what? Celebrate. Because I'm not going to be celebrating and looking. All of you all in here celebrated on one occasion or another one. And if you didn't, it was two reasons. You wasn't able to understand, and you didn't have anybody to help you. Amen. Amen. I question and I tease couples when I'm counseling them. I say, if you all get married, don't do what I did. And they laugh. You wouldn't tell them what you did, but I told them. Because I want to help them that it won't work. If they will do what I did, it won't work. Before you started putting something into the sentences, I got married 605 in Chicago, Illinois, and the pastor of that church, you had to be on time. He'd wait 15 minutes for you, then he would leave. I still can't understand that people who are getting married wait and 30 minutes late. I got married after 6, and they had a reception. I was gone at 15 minutes to 7. I left. Limousine was to the right. I went out to the right side of the door. You said you're going to meet the guests? I met them already. I'm leaving with my guests. So when I left, I only brought that up to tell you is that don't be so stingy and cheap that you don't want to celebrate. Amen. You spend. Let me put it another way. Last month, this has to do with you ladies who was getting in, up in a certain age. I don't talk about your age. I don't know it, and I don't want to know it. There's a man, Brother Aubrey. There was a man. Never liked to go nowhere, Brother Aubrey. He died the first of December. Did you hear what I said? What did he do? Do you know what happened the first of this month? She said she always wanted to go to Africa and never did. She's in Africa now. She might find her another Aubrey in Africa. Enjoy some of your days, birthdays, anniversaries, your children. Celebrate. I never had growing up, we never had nothing in our house without celebration. Amen. When my daddy bought his land, he barbecued, homemade ice cream. You know what that is. He made ice cream. My mother had two or three different kinds of cakes. Celebrated, he bought the land. And then within a year, he had built a house. He celebrated again for 2 days. And it was worth celebrating because when he got through building it, he didn't owe any money. So he decided to celebrate. I'm talking about as we prepare to celebrate 70 years, you ought to come out stepping. Amen. You used to step when you could. So if you can't step, drag it out, but come out. Let's let God know how much we appreciate him. Yes. Yes. Amen. Yes. Friends, when I got my first home, we celebrated in the backyard. 25, 30 people. We had ice cream. We had cake. We had barbecue. We had fried chicken. You don't eat that. And we had potato salad. And we didn't have no beer because we didn't drink. And we had a good time celebrating the first time I bought a home in California. Celebrate. Celebrate. We going to what? Celebrate. Amen. I can't say it enough. I was thanking God yesterday. All the week, I can't thank him enough. Now, you might not know this. Many of you are visiting with us today. Did you not know we the first in the state of in the city of Sacramento that built the church, spent very close to $10 million, and in 6 months and eight, 6 years and 8 months, we paid for it? Did you hear me? Did you know we went right after them? We built a family life center. People said, Pastor, we're not going to be able to get the corporation. I said, thank you very much. I don't talk to negative people about nothing. We built the place, and it cost, I forgot the cost, a little over $8 million. We paid for it in 8 years. Don't you ever tell me what God can't do, and you telling me I don't want to celebrate? If I was running, we celebrating this month, next month, and we run short of money, there's my brother there. Dr. Nelson will let me have some money. And Dr. Nelson said, you got to ask for what you need and want. Be happy and thank God. You pay your home off. Don't go in there and tell me, well, I'm through. I don't have no payment. No, you have a payment. You've got to go in that room now and thank God that he blessed you to pay for your house. Your daughter, your son finished college. You got to celebrate. Thank God they made it. Amen. A lot of them didn't make it or won't make it. Amen. Amen. Trump said you're going to get more money this year because he cut the taxes. It won't seem like it because you're not rich. And Al said, if you're going to have a cut, let some come my way. The cut in taxes could start with the rich first. But I want to tell you something on my way as I take my text. I'm rich. I belong to the kingdom. And he said, I own the cattle on the thousand hills. He said, if I was hungry, I wouldn't ask you because I got all I need. That's the kind of citizen that I am. Amen. The most joyful, high person that I know. She could not walk. She had a massive stroke. Every time we go by there, she's happy. She ministered to us. She said, oh, Pastor, I'm so happy. God has been so kind to me. And I'm looking at her. Can't get up. Can't walk. Can't talk. But she had something money can't buy. That's the spirit of the living God. Money can't buy that. Amen. So if she could be that happy and couldn't walk, I ought to be happy and I still can hop. From the book, from the Psalms of 121, you read verses 1 through 8. I am this morning, out of those 1 through 8, I'm going to be dealing with verses 7 and 8 and referring back and forth to the other one. It says, friends, what you read this morning, first verse talks about I will. That's a determination. Lift up mine what? Friends, to the mountains, my translation, where does my help come from? Amen. Friends, but today, the Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. Verse 8, the Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. I was trying to rescue a lady. Her husband had a knife trying to kill her some years ago. I was 16 years old. And I dived in it to rescue her and got cut. Not very much, just a little. Now, he had the knife, and I'm a young boy. He was in his 40s. But I got him down because I had been trained how to get him down. And I said that to you to say, but I grew up, I found out it wasn't me. It was God who was watching over me. You have to learn to give him credit because he deserves it. Amen. I said yesterday, and I said it last week, that we have an opportunity in Sacramento that many colleges and universities does not offer. And that is to help our young people. You say, but my child want to go to Georgia. He doesn't know anything about Georgia. He doesn't know anything about the teachers. He doesn't know anything about the school. If he get hungry, he can't get no food because he don't know nobody. Go to Sac State and you'll walk home. Amen. And you think just out of the clear blue that was open for us? This man works hard to help us. And I'm not going to hide it. I'm going to tell it. And if you don't go and don't accept the gift that you have, it's nobody's fault but you. And don't throw in my face. I didn't get this because I was black. That had nothing to do with it. That college doesn't say white college or black college. It says Sacramento State University. Whosoever will, let him come. And when you get there, go to class. And when you go to class, listen to what the teacher, I've been in class after I got grown. Some students cuss the teacher out. How dumb and stupid that is. The teacher has her or his credentials. You learn how to listen. Amen. I never forget when I spoke at one of the great universities, the guys said, "Pastor, don't you talk about God." I said, "You invited me and you knew I was a Baptist preacher." I said, "But thank you very much. What did I do after I had my prayer?" I said, "In the name of Jesus, thank you." It wasn't him that got me there. It was God who got me there. And the students asked me about God. I didn't have to talk about God. They asked me a lot of questions. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm on the air and I'm on television. Anytime I stop talking about God, I've had a stroke in the mouth. As long as I live, and not trouble, but long as I live, I'm going to say something about the man who saved me. I got to say it. Amen. You don't ever stop talking about God. Why don't you talk about something else sometime? What else is there to talk about that I don't have to argue about? I told you all, I was looking at the calendar. 37 years ago, I said, unless America changes, I said, God's going to raise up a nation that's going to change America. I said, just write it down so you won't forget it. Maybe you didn't see it. The young people now, they're not just rising up. They're going to stay up. And when they vote against John Doe, the parents are going to have to vote against him. And I still say this, one third of people in Washington need to be voted out. They've been there too long. Here's a man 85 years old and can't even see, and he's still, let me go on. Nothing wrong with his age, but he can't see. All right. Psalms, friends. Where am I? One of the most powerful and punching the words, I think, in the English language is the word, and that's my subject this morning, my friend. The subject is what? Help is on the way. Friends, it's one of the most powerful words in the English language is the word help. My friends, for it is a word that admits a position of total desperation and humility. Dr. James Merrick once described the meaning of the word help. Listen to what he says. He says, when he said help is the cry of a mother with four children, three dogs, and two cats. Friends, after a week at home while her husband is away on a business trip. She said, you need help. That's what she said. Help is the cry of a man sitting at a table surrounded by a stack of unpaid bills, hungry children, and empty bank account with no job in sight. That brother needs some. Help me, Jesus. Stick with me. Help is the cry of a woman who has poured her life for years into a marriage, only to have her husband say, "I'm leaving. I found someone else, and I don't love you anymore." Help. I don't know about you, but I found myself in a position many times that I needed help. Church, more than that, I've been in a place, in the place, where the only one who could possibly help me was the Lord himself. Listen to Psalmist 121. Look at it when you go home. We see the psalmist is dire need of the help. He is all, my friends, he is at the place, no doubt, that he has exhausted all other means, measures, and methods to cry to find help. Church, yet he still has found none. However, it seems that as he begins to remember and reflect upon some things, listen to what I'm saying. It's in your word. Reflect on something. Church, look what happened. He suddenly realized that though it may look dark, dismal, and disappointing, thank God, help is on. Friends, it is on the way. Since I pastored this church, many times it looked like we wasn't going to make it. I just didn't talk to you about it because I knew help was on the way. Amen. I shall never forget, long as the day I live, the people used to own the mortgage of the old church. We went to talk to them to try to get them to try to reason with them to make changes. And they said, we can't do that. That's part of our income. I came back and talked to the deacons. I said, don't worry about him. What we want to do now is to pray for him. We want to pray that God will help us. I'm not too humble to ask for help. So then we remodeled the old church and got Cook's company to finance it. Listen careful, church. And we had to sign papers. And I said to Mr. George, I said, Mr. Cooks, you have a lawyer that works for you. He said, yes. I said, why don't we put the old church mortgage into the new loan we are borrowing? He said, well, I never thought about that. I did. I didn't tell him that. And so then we kept negotiating. You see what I forgot? Remember now what I'm telling you. Help is on the way. God was kind enough to speak in my spirit to get the same lawyer, I wish I could tell you, that we didn't have to pay outside. The same lawyer worked inside, worked for us, because he was already working for us. So when he submitted the papers to merge the bill, the man had no choice because the law is on your side. We got it put in the right language. And didn't pay the lawyer. And folks all over town, they're going to lose that church. And they lost theirs, but we didn't lose ours. You can't lose what God give you. You lose what you buy. But if God give it to you, he'll provide for you to take care of it. The young folks questioned me, Pastor, how did you go to seminary 4 years and didn't pay? I said, because of him. See, you don't know, but God got some money. You go in your pocket and find a dollar and didn't know it was in there. Amen. Amen. Let me give you something that happened in December. I was at the store and buying some stuff and grocery stuff, and I was a dollar and something cents short. I didn't realize. I got put more up than I had money. I didn't realize that. Here's a man behind me. That's why I cannot I would never be a racist. He was a Caucasian man. I had never seen him before. He said, how much you need? I said, they said 170. I said, that's sir, I'm going to take something off the list. He said, you don't have to do that. He said, add it to mine. Hey! Look at here. Look at here. Help's on the way. So I got all I put in the basket and had enough to pay for it. Amen. Amen. I'm trying to tell you, don't underestimate God. Amen. When I first was blessed to receive a doctorate by ministry some years ago, the gentleman said, you have to make a speech. I said, about what? He told me. He said, that's easy. I don't have no problem making a speech about God. You just say, make a speech about God. I can just get up and say, look where he brought me from. He brought me from sin and shame into the marvelous light. Look where he brought me from. Just look. You see it. Then thank you very much and sit down. You got to know him, though, to deal with that. I don't have a lot of stuff. I don't know a lot of stuff. I've traveled 42 states in the United States. I've been overseas, South America. All of that information. But nobody liked when I found out for myself that God is a peacemaker. When I need some help, he's on the way. Don't quit worrying about nothing. Worry about something. That is, the people you know if they're saved. Amen. I had an Afro-American uniform, that two of them, that was given to me by my late wife. I was afraid to wear them today because I thought the deacons and the ministers would have. See, you can't go in the pulpit with that on. I'm just teasing you. I didn't think that. I just didn't wear them. I don't think like that. He suddenly realized that though I may look, I told you, dark and dismal, disappointed, but thank God help is on the way. The way. Notice in these verses, three things that the psalmist seems, to my friends, to demonstrate and express of his Lord. We see, first of all, the confidence, assurance in his Lord. It seems as if the psalmist, after times of doubt and confusion, regained a confidence, assurance that his Lord is still in control. Somebody said, well, if God's in control, why are so many bad things that happening? Friends, he's still in control. There's nobody getting, let me say this on my way to young people, there's nobody getting away with nothing. You might not go to school, and that's why I told you last Sunday, don't let nobody sell you marijuana and say they're to help you study. It won't do that. If you want to really know how to study and want something to drink, get your Pepsi. I went to school and I didn't smoke no marijuana and did well. Don't use drugs because they're selling them. Amen. And I'm going to tell you, I was offered marijuana. I was offered crack cocaine. But whoever, you can offer me anything you want to. I have to have a desire for it. I didn't have no desire for nothing controls me. Don't drink it. Don't eat it. Get your head and your mind trained. Ladies, if you get your mind trained, you don't have to deal with no foolish man. You got your own check, and you said? God has blessed people. Why don't we take advantage of it? Friends, it seems as if the psalmist, after time and time, he realized that God was his helper. All right? Thus, listen, friends, he is allowed to be confident that his Lord is able to comfort him. I will lift up. Listen to what he says when you're down. I will lift up my eyes to the hills from which cometh my help. Some people say, well, I looked to the hills. I didn't get no help. You missed it. He said to you and me, he said, even though the hills are high, so am I. But if you look to the hills, you can look to me. And you'll get some help. It will be on the way. Amen. Friends, listen carefully. He is allowed to be confident that the Lord is able to comfort him. I just love that verse. I lift up mine eyes to the hills from which cometh my help. Thank God I know I got a helper. Friends, my help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Notice verse 2, and notice again just who it is that the psalmist is referring to here. He is not referring here to his best friend or to his closest ally. He's not referring to a dear family member or to his prayer partner. He is referring to and speaking of his Lord. Church, he says, my help comes from the Lord. A young man said to me, used to go to this church, and he was here a few weeks ago, and he said to me, he said, Pastor, I just thank you. Oh, I thank you. He said, I know I messed up so much, but he said, I'm getting it together. He said, you, every time I mess up, I think about you. I said to myself, get him, God. What I mean by that, remind him that doing right is the best way. 35 years old, you said? He's really did a lot of wrong. Don't go there. All of us in here that's past 3 years old, we are guilty of something. You were guilty of something. People tell me, well, I didn't do that. No, you didn't, but you did that. Amen. And the reason we ought to be careful, because our job as being saved is to build relationships. We build relationships with God, and we try to build relationships with other people. That's what makes you strong. Amen. Amen. Church, my help comes from the Lord, he says. Notice, I repeat again. He says, my help comes from the Lord. He gains strength in knowing that his only help comes from the Lord. And as a result, he knows that the Lord is able to comfort him. Friends, you need to know you got some help when you, because trouble will come. And the thing about trouble, we don't know where it is. But if you got your helper in tune, you don't have to worry about it. He qualifies the Lord by saying, my help comes from the Lord, who made, now he has a backup. Who made heaven and earth. A man said to me some years ago, I don't think I believe in all that heaven stuff. I said, don't worry about it. I don't argue with people. I just explained my testimony. I said, don't worry about it if you don't believe there's a heaven. When you die, you won't have no attorney to get you in it. I said, my attorney has paid for my ticket. I said, I don't believe there's a heaven. I know there's a heaven. And I said, and soon and very soon, I'm going to meet my king. Amen. They told Billy Graham, you're preaching too loud. You're talking too much about Jesus. And he said, well, I said it like this. If you don't know him, you're going to hell. You got to know for yourself that there is a God that saved you. Don't be ashamed to tell people about God. Why would you be ashamed to tell somebody about somebody who's keeping you alive? He's the one keeping you alive. You can go to Kaiser all you want to, but if God is not in the will of it, it's not going to happen. I'm happy that this morning at 10 minutes after 6, I was awakened in my right mind. I got to say to him for this day, thank you. Thank you. Because if it had not been for you, I wouldn't be able to wake up or get up. Don't minimize the God you know. Don't ever do that, friend. Don't ever. I repeat, I like that beloved. Because can you think of anyone who you would rather have as your help than the God who created, controlled this world? Is there anyone you would rather have, friend, in your corner than him? Let me give you an illustration. Science also tells us that a single bolt of lightning is caused by the lightning bolt, my friends, of heating the air, my friends, molecules. Listen, to 30,000 degrees, 5 times the temperature of the sun's surface. That has nothing to do with no man. Listen careful. That bolt is only 2 inches across. You can see it for only 300 millions of a second. A large bolt may have up to 1 billion volts and 1,000 billion kilowatts of power. Now listen. Now, a normal house current is either 110 or 220 volts. And the amount of power used by one household is about 1,000 kilowatts per month. Stick with me. Therefore, if we could harness the power of a lightning bolt, we could supply power to 1 billion homes, my friends, for 1 month. Yet, that lightning bolt that can destroy a forest, shake the earth, or gutter out a crater could not raise one goose pump on the arms of my God. You missed it. You missed it. Whatever shakes the earth doesn't shake God. God can't be shaken. Listen careful. Let me give you a window to look out. Dr. S.M. Lockridge, many of you knew him, describes creation when he asked, where did God come from? He said he came from nowhere. The reason God came from nowhere is that there was nowhere for him to come from. Now just listen. Coming from nowhere, he stood on nothing. The reason he had to stand on nothing, he reached out, my friends, where there was nothing to reach, and caught something where there was nothing. He catch and hung something on nothing, and he told it to stay there. I'm talking about God. Now, standing on nothing, he took the hammer, listen, friend, of his own will. He struck the enable of his omnipotent and sparks flew. I'm talking about help's on the way. This is my God. Now listen, he caught them on the tip of his fingers, flung them out into space, and bedecked the heaven with stars, but no one said a mumbling word. The reason no one said anything is that there was nobody there to say anything. So God himself said, it is very good. Listen, beloved, I don't need to tell you that he, the God who created this world, controls this world, and can do anything in this world through his word. For this world are with the world that he chose to do. And that ought to be and ought to bring a great consolation and a confidence, knowing that if he can handle creation, he certainly is able to handle you. Did you get it? Church, he's on our side. In our corner, he's on it. And friends, he got our back. We cast all of our cares. We can do it any day upon him, for he cares for us. David said his Lord is able to confirm him. Not only is the psalmist confidentially assured that his Lord is able to comfort him, but he's also able to confirm him. Notice verses 3. He will not allow you or your foot to be moved. Notice the word move. That is mentioned in the first part of verse 3. Look what it says. The word move is quite a descriptive word, and it carries the meaning of wavering or slipping. Church, the word speaks of a pole that is not firmly planted and is, according to the book, unsettled and unsecure. When I think about who we are dealing with, it makes me happy. Here's the point. The psalmist is trying to make that the waves and the winds of circumstances are continually blowing about us. Many times those winds are strong enough to blow us over and knock us down. However, if we belong to him or in him, then he is our general contractor. And the psalmist is trying to let us know that the Lord has never built a house that ever crumbled. And he's never laid a foundation that wasn't firm. And because we stand on him, life can toss us like the winds and the waves of the sea. But because we are planted, fixed, and confirmed upon the solid rock of ages, he will not allow our foot to be moved. What a God we have. Church, friends, we are going to be rocked by life circumstances. But he's going to keep on blessing us to stand. Friends, going to be tossed to and fro, but we are going to keep on standing. We fall down, but we get back up. And we get back up and keep on standing. We're going to be hit from every side, but we are going to keep on standing. How do you know we're going to keep on standing? I'm glad you asked. Some days I feel like I just ain't going to make it. I've been down so long that down doesn't bother me. Well, I'm glad you asked, church. Just look back over your life and all that the Lord has brought you through. And yet, you can testify that you're still standing. Thank you, Jesus. I'm almost through. You can quote the poem by Langston Hughes. I've been scared and battled by hopes the wind done scatter. Snow frizzled me. Sun that has baked me. Look like between they don't help me. But Langston Hughes meant well, but he's gone on. Who are you depending on now? I'm still here. Is there anybody can testify today that the devil tried to take you out, but you're still here? He tried to rob you of your joy and your peace, but you are still here. How many times the devil lied on you? Look like the people he lied to believe what he said. But on the other side of you, joy rose up. Church, listen here carefully. They took your job, took your health, took your loved ones, but you're still here. It is our testimony because, like the psalmist, the Lord is able to confirm us, and he will not allow our foot to be moved. His Lord, David said, is able to calm him. Not only does the psalmist realize that he is able to comfort him and confirm him, but he also is able to calm you and I. Notice the last part of the verse 3 and verse 4. The psalmist says, he who keep, my friend, he who keep you will not slumber. Verse 4, behold, who keepeth Israel shall neither slumber or sleep. When my late wife passed, some people from out of state meant so well, loving people, said to me, Pastor, I hate that your wife passed on. It's going to be difficult for you to sleep. And I thank them because I was grateful that they called to talk to me. But the mistake that they made, because they just didn't know, I still love them. Why should I stay awake when God doesn't slumber or sleep? What I had to do was to fall on my knees and lay out on the floor and say, Lord, if you gave her to me and I had all of these years, what I want to do this evening is to thank you. And I need you now more than ever. Not to prop me up, but to hold me up. I need to show to the world that if you are able to take her, you are able to keep me. And I'm here to tell you, he's a good keeper. In the midnight hour, when you feel lonely and sad, he'll rock you with a song. Something on the inside, working on the outside. What a joy we have. Don't let nobody tell you, help. I don't care what kind of trouble you're in. If you are born again, help is on the way. I said, help is on the way. Let me get a witness here. Come here, Jesus. Stand here and tell her. They whooped him all night long. They beat him. He bled. He couldn't even speak. They put the cross on his shoulder. and looked like he had no help. They hung him on a cross. He died. I said he died. He died. They dropped him in a chilly grave. He didn't look like he had no help. But this Sunday morning, he got up and he said, I didn't only get up, I got all power in my hand. Power to save, power to heal, power to restore, power to save. And if he got up and he saved me, I'm going to get up. I don't care what the devil says. I'm going to get up because the power that Jesus got up with is in me now. Oh, God. Thank you today. Oh, God. I praise you today. Oh, God. You will help us to get up. Help is on the way. Help is on the way. Help is on the way. You got to trust it. You got to trust it. Help is on the way. It is. But you got to trust it. It looks dark, gloomy. Look like he's not coming. But he's there. He's on the way. An old lady, they was bombing in England during the war. Every night they bombed. And the next day, people were looking for the bodies that had been bombed, the houses bombed out. And they're looking for this elderly woman. And they couldn't find her. And they kept on looking. And they went in part of the house where she was sleeping. And they said to her, how could you sleep during all of this bombing? She said what I said. She says, yes, they did the bombing. But say, you must have read. He never sleeps nor slumbers. So why should I stay awake when he's awake? That's all I need to know. He doesn't sleep. He's on a watch 24 hours a day. Every day, 52 weeks a year, he's on a watch. Trust him. Trust him. According to man, I should have been dead 2 years ago, but I'm still standing. Don't worry about Pastor Williams. He don't have very long. Isn't that amazing? You know when I'm going to die, and don't know when you're going to die. Isn't that amazing? I've already died once. There's a song that we used to sing. And it brought joy to my soul. And people, young people laugh at it today. Because they don't understand it. It went something like this. I need the old. I. When? Where you come. sleep every hour comes. Will you come?